Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the slow but steady breakdown of Western civilization. And Steve Vaughn in studio with me, homeschool father of six. You take over the world your way. We'll take over the world ours, as somebody once said. But of course, it's Jesus who's taken over the whole world. So let's keep that in mind, that, this implosion of birth rates is not going to do well for the Malthusians and the Sangerites of the world. It's going to be counterproductive after about 2 to 3 to 4 generations.
Yes. Yes, especially if we keep having the kids and they don't.
Yeah.
So, like you said, we'll take over the world our way.
They keep killing them and they keep discipling their kids in nihilistic philosophies, then it's going to be counterproductive for them. And friends, you're looking at a civilization that is breaking down. We have an apologetic to a civilization that denies the possibility of absolute truth, denies the possibility of absolute ethics, denies any possibility of teleology, doesn't give anybody a purpose for life, and self-consciously admits that. Now, there's been times at which humanists pretend as if they have a purpose, but now it's increasingly self-conscious in the mind of modern man that there is no purpose for life. There is no meaning for life. So man is well aware of his meaninglessness in our day. He's well aware of the fact there can be no truth, and what he's doing in the colleges is a total waste of time. He understands that. He's self-conscious of that now. And so as society breaks down, no longer has a will to continue, friends, there will be those who will have something of a worldview that can retain some preconditions for life on earth. And that is a biblical world and life view. And that gives me a great deal of confidence when we can stand up in front of a nihilistic world in which all they can see is meaninglessness and death. And we say, there is meaning. God gives us meaning and purpose. It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And on top of that, here's the bonus. Jesus is risen from the dead, and we are going to rise too.
Amen.
That, my friends, is an amazing gospel to a very depressed world. Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
See, I only have an audience of one here, Steve.
Yeah.
So if you don't say praise God, then we're done for.
Yeah. But praise God for what you just said. That's what gets us from day to day.
Amen. Amen, brother. And now, here is a story about the university. And we come back to the university again and again because, well, education is important today. It's a means of discipleship. We encourage other forms of discipleship than that which is proposed by the secular university. But this is, again, the other discipleship program.
Yes.
Available at the University of Central Oklahoma. So if you're looking at a university in Oklahoma, we're going to touch on one of the universities in Oklahoma called the University of Central Oklahoma. And evidently, they were considering who to invite to speak at the campus. And Steve, they had a choice. They were choosing between a drag queen and Ken Ham.
Well, you'd think that's a no-brainer. Ken Ham, right?
No, they went with a drag queen.
The drag queen.
They went with a drag queen.
So I would have thought that the drag queen would have been too controversial.
No. Ken Ham was way more controversial than the drag queen.
And how is that?
Well, the drag queen is more mainstream. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, come on, just agree.
Okay, I agree.
Ken Ham is not mainstream, Steve. You'd have to agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever met the guy?
Truth. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Truth is not mainstream.
For those who don't know who Ken Ham is, Ken Ham is the president of Answers in Genesis. And they're the guys who put together the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, just about 30 minutes down the road from the Ark Museum out in northern Kentucky. And we've actually sponsored a couple conferences out there as well. But the University of Central Oklahoma is choosing between the drag queen and Ken Ham, went with the drag queen on this one. Apparently, a campus student group arranged for Ken Ham to speak at Constitution Hall at the University of Central Oklahoma. The university put the kibosh on it. He's just way too controversial. But meantime, I guess they are spending tax dollars at the University of Central Oklahoma on drag queen shows and a safe sex carnival. Don't think I even want to know what is involved in that. Well, what can we say? Romans 1.
Yep.
We keep coming back to Romans 1, Steve.
Yeah. Seems like the Bible knows what it's talking about.
I know. now, if there's anybody listening is saying, this is obvious, or this is, of course, this is what is happening. The only way to describe what is going on here is Romans 1:28. God has given the universities in America up to a debased mind. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, which is precisely what is going on. As the University of Central Oklahoma is going for the drag queens and the sex carnival versus Ken Ham, who would give an intellectual defense for the Christian faith. And I guess he was going to speak on homosexuality.
Yeah.
As well as, of course, creation. That's his expertise. But there are three sacred cows in America today. And I've learned this because if I touch on these things, these are the issues that bring the most flack to this radio program. And
you,
what are they?
You get flack?
From time to time.
Okay. Evolution?
That's right.
It's got to be feminism.
Yep.
And, of course, homosexuality.
Yeah, those are the three sacred cows.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. It's no-brainer. Everybody knows. These are the three sacred cows in America: evolution, feminism, homosexuality. And Ken was going after two out of three, and that was something that the University of Central Oklahoma could not handle.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he actually says, you know, free speech in America is under increasing attack by some very intolerant people. He said he finds it ironic that he was supposed to speak in Constitution Hall while his constitutional rights were being violated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the University of Central Oklahoma gets a few federal dollars as well. And they should subject themselves to the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But everybody is equal, but some are more equal than others. And this is effectively the animal farm approach to the American university. And ultimately, it's the destruction of knowledge. These people do not want to discuss knowledge. They don't want to understand truth because there is no truth. They've given up on truth. And what we see in the modern university is the destruction of knowledge. And for anybody to walk into the university and say, yeah, but I think there may be an absolute truth. Yeah, but there is an absolute ethic. For anybody to suggest that there might be truth at the modern university is the highest form of heterodoxy. That is the apostasy of the day. For anybody to suggest that we're here to learn something about the world, that there is some kind of absolute truth, would be counterintuitive. It would be counterproductive to everything the university is about in our present day. Friends, the university is about deconstructing knowledge, not presenting knowledge. There is no real interest in knowledge in the university today because the universities are deconstructing, and many of them have already completely deconstructed. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. This week, take a look at what's going on in American education and K-12 schools in England. And this comes from the UK. The Stonewall Organization, which turns out to be the preeminent homosexual organization in the UK, they've issued a manual on curriculum. You know how we have the Christian Curriculum Project?
Yes.
We have the Christian Worldview Curriculum that we present, attempting to bring people away from the education that is not formed on a biblical worldview, that refuses to acknowledge Christ and will not interrelate God's Word to every aspect of our children's lives. We wanted to bring in the Word of God as a frontlet between their eyes as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. That's Deuteronomy 6:7. This is the mandate for all of Christian education, for any child being discipled in the Christian home. The Word of God is to be as a frontlet between their eyes. That means that they need to see God's Word constantly throughout the material. And that's why I'm writing a U.S. history course right now, Steve, with a Bible verse that ties directly into the issue that's being discussed throughout American history. And I do it on almost every page. And
yeah, I've seen
in some cases,
of that. Yeah.
Almost every paragraph. Yeah, it's a unique way to teach, but we're trying to get back to a biblical form of education at a time in which there's massive apostasy going on in our public schools, private schools, and even our homeschools. And so it's time to get way more radical with bringing the Word of God into the education of our children. And that's what Generations intends to do. And now Stonewall Organization, that is the other side, is saying, well, why don't we do the same thing?
Yeah.
Why don't we integrate LGBT issues into math, science, and geography? That's what they're saying.
Yeah. So they understand discipleship. They understand the process.
They do.
Where the Christians need
they're
to take
it.
A page off yeah. of that to, we yeah. need to understand yeah. the process.
Can we do that
yeah.
with our stuff?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do that with your stuff, if you're integrating the God of homosexuality into math, science, and geography, why can't we do that? Of course, they've already done this in the sense that they create autonomy. They pretend that man is in control of his own truth, that man establishes his own truth, and man makes up his own ethics as he goes, and he lives in a purely materialistic universe. They've already done that. I don't think these guys realize they've done that. But what they're trying to do is bring more of the debased mind into math. Imagine that. Imagine having, you know, pictures of guys doing really bad things
yeah.
in your math book. That's the kind of thing I believe that they're trying to introduce to the curriculum in the UK schools. That's a sad, sad thing.
Yeah, they've already rejected that 2 + 2 = 5 or 4. I mean, they're saying that it's 5 now mm-hmm. or whatever you feel like it is. So why not throw in all of this other debased stuff? I mean, they've claimed to be wise and become fools already. God's going to give them over and continues yeah. to give them over to the debased mind.
And as we've mentioned before, American schools are already doing this. In fact, there was a California mandate that began just this year. 10 new textbooks released into American public schools in the state of California in which LGBT issues are being integrated into the subjects being taught. That is, you know, they want to be sure that in the history class or the geography class or the science class, there's something about homosexuality. I don't know if it's pictures or descriptions or perhaps profiles. I know they're going to do profiles on pedophiles like Harvey Milk, who was one of the first homosexual pedophiles who gained some political ascendance in the 1970s in San Francisco. But they're going to try to present these people as heroes in California textbooks, and these textbooks were just released this school year, 2017-2018.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here going, how much more can you just mess up our kids? I mean, that's really what's going on, is that the public schools are just debasing the minds of children before they can learn how to think for themselves.
If somebody sat down and said, how could I completely mess up these kids? You know, I don't know how much more you can do. I mean, throw them into a brothel in Cambodia for a week, perhaps, or let them hang out with serial killers in a maximum security prison for a day or two, perhaps. I think these people have sat down and said, okay, how are we going to mess up these kids? And they have worked through how to mess up a kid 101, how to mess up a kid 102, 103. They've probably taken Millstone 401.
Yeah. Yeah.
501, maybe, in some cases.
Yeah, and Jesus had some pretty harsh words for people who would mess with kids' minds like this and lead them into sin. A large millstone be tied around their neck and dropped into the sea.
Well, World Magazine also issues an article on children's literature. And, of course, we've come to the point we don't go to the library. We don't go to bookstores. We don't buy children's books from bookstores. We just don't. I don't think Christians do anymore. I don't think Christians go to Barnes and Nobles to buy their children's books. It's ridiculous.
It's dangerous.
It's ridiculous. if you want to give your children a whole bunch of books on homosexuality and witchcraft and wizards and human sacrifice and, you know, cannibalism and vampirism and people eating each other and so forth, you know, be my guest. Walk into Barnes and Nobles and buy your books. But the rest of us are thinking, you know, maybe we should not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Maybe we should come out from among them, be separate. We've come a long way from the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. Now, Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew did not acknowledge God much, if any. There were problems with the materialism that we found with Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew, and we could go over that. But I'm sorry, these are brave new days, and there are brave new books that are decorating the shelves of Barnes and Nobles. And World Magazine talks about these various books here, Gender Fluidity for Preschoolers. Can you believe that? Gender Fluidity for Preschoolers. A British newspaper headline from last summer explains a lot, sort of. Here's the headline. Okay. Mother writes children's book about Tilly, the transgender teddy bear, after being inspired by her father who transitioned into a woman. So here's what's going on. What's going on is this woman, Jessica Walton from Melbourne, Australia, raised a bunch of money through one of the Kickstarter programs to publish a picture book that would help her baby son relate to his new grandma, because grandpa turned into a grandma.
How messed up was that?
Yeah, you talk about messing up a kid 501.
Yeah.
Yeah, the degree to which the modern world is messing up kids is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. I asked Nancy Piercy in an interview recently, has there ever been a time in history in which we have gone to these limits? She studied the Greeks. She studied the Romans. She's a great scholar. And she says, not to this extent.
Yeah.
When it comes to the transgendering influences that are pressing in upon six-year-olds, the intensity by which these people are trying to destroy children at 6 and 7 years of age has never been experienced in all of world history. And I don't think the destruction of children by abortion and by the abortifacient pill has been so prevalent as it has been in the last 40 years. The last 40 years, we have seen the destruction of probably between 3 and 5 billion children by chemicals that are produced largely in the United States, developed by Margaret Sanger, and by surgical abortion. So, Steve, I mean, has there ever been a time in which wars or whatever has killed between 3 and 5 billion people in just 40 to 50 years?
Not that I can tell.
No. These are very unique times, friends. We're talking about the massive slaughter of billions of children in their mothers' wombs. Now, yes, the pagan tribes did 100 here and 300 there and 500 there, but I'm talking about 3 billion kids being destroyed by modern policies and by modern technology. Now the printing presses are doing the best they can to destroy kids' lives at 6 and 7 and 8 years of age. It's outrageous. She says there's, in this article here from World Magazine, there's more to come. The protagonist of About Chris is a girl who feels like a boy. Or Tiny of Are You a Boy or a Girl could be either one. Though they are continually asking about their gender on the playground, they aren't telling. Sometimes the term they refers to a child who is told that they have multiple personalities. Do you know that? I read a bio of a young homeschool graduate recently, and he called himself a they because he's confused. He's, you know, we used to call those multiple personalities. We used to call those, you know, this guy needs treatment. This guy needs to be in a padded cell. That's what we used to say. But we're trying to manufacture as many of these kids as possible now through these books. The hero of Red, A Crayon Story, is really and obviously a blue crayon in a red wrapper who can't meet society's expectations for coloring strawberries and fire trucks. It's assumed that a four-year-old will absorb the underlying message of learning like to act like your true self, even though most four-year-olds don't understand that crayons are androgynous. On and on it goes. A survey released in December by the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research classifies a whopping 27% of California youth as gender nonconforming. And because 25% have been told they are gender nonconforming.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's becoming a thing now.
Oh, yeah. As encouraged by the powers that be. It's just it's out of control, Steve. It's out of control. And why did we send our kids to the California Transgendered Charter School, honey? What were we thinking? I'm wondering, is there a Christian left in California that is sending his kids to a California Transgendered Charter School? Or in any way borrowing from the worldview of the California public schools?
Yeah.
Is there one Christian left doing that?
I would hope not.
You know what we're praying for this year? We're praying for 1 million parents to get a clue, to see the light, and to realize that Jesus meant it when he said if anybody sends their kids into a stumbling block, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea. We would love to see 1 million parents wake up to these realities and say, there's something wrong and we need to do something better. We need to give our children a distinctively Christ-centered, Christ-oriented, Christ-haunted, Christ-absorbed form of education, the paideia of the Lord, as Paul speaks of in Ephesians 6. He says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I think what we need is an increased separation from these schools and these books and these bookstores, Steve. Maybe in the 1960s and 1970s, we could run down to a Barnes & Noble's and pick up C.S. Lewis or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that we are way, way, way down the pike on this. We're coming to the point at which we need to separate from these systems. We also need to be aware of where our kids are. Our teenage children, should they be in certain environments? Are these environments healthy for them? Is this right for them? Some say, well, your 6 or 7 year old kid needs to be a missionary. You know, send them off to New Guinea. Let them hang out with the cannibals and learn a little bit of whatever they're doing. And maybe they'll pick up a little bit of what your 6 or 7 year old's been taught. I would not suggest that. I would not encourage that. And the other question to ask is your daughter a wall or a door? You know the difference there, right? Is she a wall or is she a door? What's the difference?
Well, you have to either climb one of them or go through the other one. So are they more open? Or are they a little more difficult to get up, get around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are they such that they easily absorb what others are telling them, what their peer group is telling them? Or would they be more likely to resist it? And ultimately, the question is, who is discipling our kids?
Yeah.
It gets back to the fundamental question.
Yeah,
who are you going to have disciple your kids?
Your children will be discipled. There is no way around that unless you isolate them in a closet somewhere. But there's no way around your children being discipled. The question is, by whom? It's either going to be you or the world.
Nature abhors a vacuum. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. So if nature abhors a vacuum, then somebody is going to step in and do it. And when parents are too passive, and I think this be the fundamental issue, when fathers are too disengaged, when fathers are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God and they don't realize that they're the ones to disciple, they're the ones to see that their children are raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, then inevitably it's the passive thing that takes over. And whoever is out there aggressively looking to disciple your kids into homosexuality or into a sheer materialistic worldview or whatever, he's the one to gain ascendance in this competition for who's going to disciple your child. So the encouragement is for families to make this call. It's encouragement is to fathers to wake up and say, what are the priorities? What are we looking for in the education of our children? Are we looking for mere academic performance in certain areas, or are we looking to bring Jesus into the center of the education of our kids? What is the priority? What are we looking for? What is the objective? Do we want our kids just to grow up and get out of the house and get out of our way? Okay, that's an objective, but it's a bad objective. Do we want our children to grow up and to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Do we want to throw our bodies over the barbed wire and do the work in the kingdom of God and disciple our children such that they will be the next generation that will take the kingdom of God forward and be those that disciple their own children in their generation, be those that that are seeking the kingdom of God in every area of life, bringing the law of God to bear, the commandments of God to bear in every area of life? Is this the vision that we have for our children? I sure hope so. Well, my friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. I'd encourage you to our little book that introduces you to the family, the Christian family, the biblical family. It's called Family Life, in which we talk about these issues. We talk about what it is to give our children a Christian discipleship, a family-based discipleship. What is it to give our children a family-based Christian culture? What is it to give our children a family-based Christian approach to relationships? We deal with all of these aspects of the Christian family in this very, very basic, simple introduction to the Christian family called Family Life. And the book is brand new, hot off the press just last year, and I encourage you to a copy of it. It's called Family Life, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.